Good morning. Now, your Bibles, turn with me over to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be looking at the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you?' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here we have an account of John the Baptizer. He has been cast into prison because he reproved King Herod Antipas for Herod taking his brother's wife. Don't know the circumstances of his imprisonment, but apparently John had a little bit of liberties. Maybe Herod took a fancy to him. At least he was allowed to have some visitors. And so it says, he sent two of his disciples to Christ with a question. Verse 3, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" As I read that, I thought to myself, why did John ask that question? He of all people, an inspired prophet, didn't he know that Jesus was the Christ? And then I wondered, maybe John's faith wavered for a moment, such as Peter's faith wavered at Christ's crucifixion. Or maybe he wanted to use this as an opportunity to kind of sort of force Christ to come out and declare who he is so he can put a stop to all the rumors about what and who Jesus was. Or maybe John could see the future and his impending death. And he just wanted to see Christ actually declared before the people before his death. I don't know the answer to that. No one does. But it says he asked the question through his disciples, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" That's important that we understand how Jesus answered that question. He didn't say, "Yes, sir, I am the Christ," but he didn't deny that he was the Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 8, it says that John had actually been asked by people if he was the Christ. And his response was, "You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." So if John, when asked the question, answered, "No, I'm not the Christ," maybe John was hoping that Jesus, when asked the question, would say something similar, but say, "Yes, I am the Christ." But he didn't answer that way. Look how he answered beginning in verse 4 of Matthew 11. "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. As if Jesus turning to these disciples of John and say, look around. What do you see and what do you hear? Go back and tell John what you found out. The blind receive their sight. The lame are walking. The lepers are now cleansed. The deaf can hear. And the dead are raised. Now you need to know that there's something missing in Matthew's account. For this same story is related over in the Gospel of Luke. And in your home study, I would love for you to read Luke chapter 7, particularly verses 18 through 35. But for now, I just want to focus on verse 21 of Luke chapter 7. It reads this way. And that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. So all this about healing the blind and the lame and the lepers and the deaf and raising the dead, according to Luke, all happened in the same hour as when these disciples from John came with their question. Now, I asked you the question this morning. If someone came in here, miracles during the hour that we share together, what would we call that? We call it miracles. Big time miracles. Firecrackers popping off kind of miracles, one right after another. Listen and see and go back and tell John what you saw. I have to believe that that is probably more reassuring to John than for Jesus' message to simply be, yes, I'm the Christ. But there was one last thing that these disciples saw that I've not yet mentioned. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. We'll look at verse 5 again and see what that is. It says, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Isn't that interesting? That having the gospel preached to the poor is listed right beside all of these other miracles. Maybe because the preaching of the gospel is a miracle. And that must have been strengthening to John, who had been preaching and was in prison because of it, to know that the preaching hadn't stopped. Let's look beginning in verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. You see, the focus changed from John now to the people. When you went out to the River Jordan to see John the Baptizer preaching and baptizing folks, what did you go expecting to see? As I read that, I guess, let's get personal this morning. When you first came in the doors at Babcock Road Christian Church, what did you expect to see? Dig a little deeper. When you came in the doors and you heard somebody like me, one of us standing up here and preaching, what was your expectations? Now get out your canvas and your paints and your paintbrush and paint what you think the ideal preacher would be. Someone good looking. Person with a friendly personality. Forceful radio voice. Someone who was maybe good with kids. Someone who had good organizing skills. Someone who was a go-getter. You could probably make a long list of the things you expected to see when you walked into this church and when you heard a preacher preach. And I'm sure what you would write down would all be great talents and great characteristics. Personalities of a good preacher and teacher. But when Jesus asked that question, I get the impression Jesus already had a hint of what they expected to see. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? That's what he thought they went out to see. He repeats it again in verse 8. What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. I don't know what to make of that last verse. For decades, I stood up here and preached with a suit and a tie on. And I'd have to say that the garments that I have on this morning are softer. But somehow, I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. I think he throws that line in there about the garments that they're wearing and that they live in king's houses to say that he's probably addressing those who would consider themselves, what do we say, the rich and the famous, the elite, the uppity crust, the big shots, the I'm better than you, the preachers of the day that are on top of the heap. I don't think he's picking on their clothing as much as he's saying these clothings that they wear, these garments, tell us a little bit about the person who wears them. It's reported that if you go around the River Jordan where John was baptizing and where Jesus later taught, there grows a plant called the Arundodonyx. The giant reed can be 12 foot tall on the top, beautiful blossoms. I look at it and I say, it looks a lot like our bamboo, but it's not bamboo. Was Jesus saying they thought or hoped that John was like a giant reed that could be blown back and forth by every wind of public opinion of the day? You know, some preachers are like that. Some churches are like that. Not just in our day, even back in Jesus' and the apostles' day. Go over to the book of 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 3. For Paul, talking to Timothy, says that's exactly what will happen with people. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. When you get those kinds of preachers preaching and getting all puffed up, there are some people who get blown away. Listen to Paul over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He warns that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Look around today. You can turn on TV. You can turn on the radio. Look at all of those who profess to be preachers and teachers of the world, of the Word. Many of them have the bend. That's what I'll call it. The bend. They bend whichever way the wind is blowing. How do you want the word preached? They'll preach it any way you want it. You want it soft? Fine. You want it hard? I'll preach it hard. You want it with a mission, taking out some of the scripture? You want it with additions of her own opinions? You want it with fact? Or want it with fables? They have the bend. Because that's the way the people want it. Jesus saw that. What did you go out to see? John had a problem. He wasn't flexible enough. He told it like it was. Go back a few chapters to Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Whoa. John talked too much. He was too forceful. He was too blunt. to Herod, he told him, it is a sin for you to take your brother's wife. People don't like to be called sinners. It was true then, and it's true today. And if your next meal depended upon whether or not the church was going to write you a check for this month for preaching, you might have a tendency to want bend with the wind. Hey, you over there. You over there. You're a sinner. Who warned you to flee from the judgment to come? Don't hear that very often, do you? Go over to Mark chapter 6, verse 18. For John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That's why he's in prison. That's why he will lose his head. And as I read that, I said, but John, why didn't you compromise? Why didn't you turn your eyes away from the sin of Herod and just, why didn't you just keep your mouth shut? Well, the answer is simple. Because John knew that preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ was a miracle. Think about John. He could have been the hairiest guy around. That girdle could have held the biggest belly of anybody in Galilee. He was probably gross to look at with honey-covered locusts dripping from his lips. I don't know the details of all of that. We don't know. But if you go over to Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If there's anything we can say John wasn't soft. He didn't live in king's houses. And Jesus, as he looked out the crowd after those disciples of John had left, he sensed that those people went out to see John baptizing and they didn't see what they expected to see. Verse 7, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? That was exactly what they expected to see. And we can ask a similar question today. Of you, of anyone. You walked in the doors. What did you expect to see? You're looking for entertainment? Looking for dynamic deliveries? Are you looking for $2,000 suits and ties? Are you looking for encouragement without ever any condemnation? Or are you looking for a place to be served rather than to serve? Are you looking for a fence straddling, compromising, anything goes as long as you're talking not about me kind of message? Or you're looking for a watered-down, weak-kneed, wishy-washy, middle-of-the-road Bible study? Are you looking for a place where your opinions become doctrines, where doctrine can be changed by your opinion? Then you're looking for the Windy Bindy Reed Church. And they're everywhere. Jesus looked over the crowd, and he knew what they went out to see. But he wanted them to think about it. So he asked that question a third time in verse 9. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. Jesus perceived they were disappointed when they saw and heard John. And Jesus didn't want him to be dismissed as a crowd without him setting the record straight, so he says, beginning in verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Among those born of women, there has not arisen one greater than John. That covers a lot of ground. That's an awesome statement. That's an honor of all honors. Luke records it slightly different. In Luke chapter 7, verse 28. For I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So I ask the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God? I don't know the answer to that. I know it's not John, because that's what he just said. If you are a Christian, the answer is you are greater than John. Let that sink in for a moment. The most plain, unsophisticated, inexperienced Christian among us, if he or she faithfully lives, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, then they are greater than John the Baptist in the kingdom of heaven. Let's narrow it down to preachers. A true Christian preacher, if he stays true in preaching this gospel message, he's greater than the preacher John the Baptist. Not because of his talent, not because of his education or his learning, not because he has a greater voice or ability to deliver or can give some fabulous illustration that holds your attention. He is a greater preacher because he has a greater message than John the Baptist did. John could never preach like Peter, but you can. John never preached like Paul, but we can. If we are faithful in proclaiming Christ's words, if we stand fast and firm in the doctrines, if we cast aside the pressures of the world to soften and blow whichever the wind of opinion is for the day, if we can do that, then Jesus says that's great preaching. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? I love this poem. It has a powerful message. Preach a sermon, preacher. Make it short and sweet. Our stomachs are hungering at 11 o'clock to eat. Preach a sermon, preacher. Make it round or flat. We love to play at hide and seek and guess just where you're at. Preach a sermon, preacher, fill it with some jokes. Tell us a few anecdotes and entertain us, folks. Preach a sermon, preacher, don't get too specific. Long as you generalize, we'll think you are terrific. Preach a sermon, preacher, tell us what we like to hear. We'll pat your spineless back while you scratch our itching ears. You may not remember anything I said, but you're going to remember that poem. Where the true church exists, there are Christians still proclaiming the unaltered Word of God. But the real unanswered question this morning is, where are you in relationship to that Word? And what did you come out to see? What's your expectations? Jesus said as he concludes here, he who hath ears, let him hear. We know in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So unless we hear the unaltered word of God, we cannot build a faith that can save us. And I pray that's why you came today. So that you could see the miracle of the scripture, because that's what it's all about. This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation, and Christ invites you to be a part of his church. He says, come through faith, repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is Christ, that you need to be immersed for the remission of those sins. We can do that. Come if you will, through stand and sing.